This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we review a Crossbooks publication titled Biblical Lessons, 52 Topics, and our author is Robert Ridings. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
It's good to have you on the program. Tell me about this book. Tell me about your background. What have you done prior to writing this book, or is this something that's just in a line of books that you've published?
Well, this book came from a class I was teaching on Tuesday nights at a Recovery in Christ program. And a lot of men from the rescue mission here in Frederick were there, and I'm one of the teachers in a small group. And I was talking to the men. They wanted a Bible study. They wanted it based on topics. They were asking me about different topics, spiritual warfare, or how do we control our emotions, or what does the Lord say about pride or fear and anxiety, or is he going to help us through our trials and tribulations? And so each week I would pray and the Holy Spirit would give me a topic that they were interested in. I'd write up a page and a half, and teach the class to them, and it was very well received. And over a period of about a year and a half, I realized I had 50 plus lessons on my computer.
Wow. And so has this been your primary occupation, being a teacher and a Bible scholar, Bible student?
Well, this is just one class that I was teaching. Sometimes I teach these lessons at a nursing home, and sometimes I teach it at a senior home, and sometimes I teach it at my Bible class that I have every Monday at the prisons.
And who do you think this book is going to benefit?
I think the book will benefit anybody that has questions about things in their life. How's God going to help me get through my trials and tribulations? Or I need a better understanding of what God says about pride, or how do I walk closer to God? Am I complacent with God, or am I really serving God the way he wants to? What pleases God the most? So anytime you have any questions about what the Bible says, you can go to one of these topics, and you can read the topic and see what the scripture says. There's scriptures in there, there's comments, and there's hopefully some thought-provoking questions. In my ministry, people are always asking me questions. How do I get through these problems? How do I get through these trials and tribulations? And with pride, what do you mean by pride? How am I going to feel I'm prideful? What does it mean to be prideful? So they're looking for answers. And people are rather impatient, so they want kind of quick answers and quick understanding at the time. Sometimes in my ministry, you only have a few minutes to talk to people when they ask a question like that. So that's the purpose of the book, to have... That's why the lessons aren't 10, 15, 20 pages long. They're just two or three pages, and give the scriptures. And you can read it, understand it, and have some ammunition to minister with, or you can go deeper into the subject.
You can also approach this as a devotional guide.
You have to be a weekly devotional, yes. You can just take it with you and read it 10 times during the week and answer the questions and dig a little bit deeper into it and talk to other people about it. It's like a weekly devotional.
And these topics, how long did it take you to put this book together? I'm sure you had more than 52 items.
It was one lesson a week. I did one at a time. And after about a little over a year, counting vacation and being out of town, and I had a little over 50 lessons, and I put them all in a binder. Went to the local store here and made 10 binders and took them out to people, and people said, why don't you get this published? I'd never thought about getting it published. They said, this is pretty good. Hey, you should get this published. But about three months later, not thinking about it, the wife and I were down in Nashville. And like I said, it's by Crossbooks, which is a division of Lifeway. And we went to the Lifeway bookstore right next to the headquarters. And the wife said, go over and talk to him. I said, no, I don't think this is publishable. She said, go over and talk to him. They gave me a number. 3 months later, I was down here at my desk, and I found the number, and I called a gentleman at Crossbooks, and he said, email it to him, and he'd read it that evening. The next day, he let me know, and he called me back the next day and said they'd like to publish it.
Wonderful.
So then the wife's guy came to me down and said that the Lord put on her heart last night to have it published. And I said, well, that pretty much answers the question.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And how would you introduce this book to someone who doesn't know you or know of your history or its contents?
How would I introduce the book to somebody?
Yes.
I would just tell them that it's a topical study. I would just read some of the topics to them and said, if you have questions about how God's going to answer certain things in your life, or you want to know about pride, you want to know about spiritual warfare, you want to know how to make godly decisions, if you have questions like that, you can go to this book, and in 5 minutes you can read the chapter, read the lesson, and see what God says.
And of the topics that you've put together, which of them do you think is the most meaningful that people seem to be gravitating toward most?
Which topics they go to the most?
Yes.
Well, each topic was basically coordinated with the men in the class. That's about 10 men in the class. I coordinated with them, and let me open the book here and look at some of the lessons. And yeah, I deal with a lot of men that are in addiction, and when you're in addiction, you live totally out of your emotions. So one of the subjects that was very interesting to him was wisdom versus emotions. You know, the word says, be quick to listen, slow to anger, and be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So that was one of the main verses to teach the men to stop and think before they made emotional decisions. Defensive behavior was a good one for the men at the mission. They had low self-esteem and very defensive behavior. So we had to go through to understand that. Anger, which is always a big issue. Anger and fear are Satan's two favorite weapons. So there's a lesson on fear and anxiety, which we took 3 weeks to go through that lesson. And overcoming anger was a big issue. Those seem to be a couple of the very powerful lessons that we had. Patience was a good one. We live in a patient world, and patience is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's a blessing when we develop patience. So every lesson in there I've taught to the class, and they were all well received. It was a rather small group. It started out with about 4 or 5 or 6, and now I'm up to 10, 15, or 20.
Yes, but the topics that you have outlined in your book are universal. They will appeal to not just people in addiction and having difficulty there, but the person who is wanting to improve his walk with the Lord.
Yes, it appeals to the people at the nursing home, the senior home I talk to. They also are very interested in these topics. You know, what does it mean to be humble, and talking about God's perfect love, and I found that the topics have been very, very well received by everybody I talked to.
Was there anything about this book in putting it together that was challenging?
I would pray to the Holy Spirit to give me a topic. Sometimes it was difficult to get the exact topic that I should have that week, but the Spirit would give me that topic, and I could write the lesson and the first draft of the lesson in 30 minutes. Then I would pray about it during the week, and over the week I would develop the lesson to get it the way the Lord wanted it. Then I would go and teach the class. That was the highlight, because I could actually take what the Lord had given me and teach and get feedback from the men in the class and further develop the lesson.
Well, thank you for putting together a book that not only highlights the ministry you have with people that are hurting, but also will extend to those in the church and in the church world that need good topics to teach and preach from. Thank you again. Where do we get copies of your book?
Well, it's just now coming on the market. I don't know if it's in the Christian bookstores yet, but it's supposed to be. But it's on Amazon now. You can enter Biblical Studies and my name, Robert Ridings, and it comes up. Or you can enter the ISBN number, and the book will come up on Amazon.
Very good. And the correct spelling of your name is R-I-D-I-N-G-S, Ridings. Thank you, Rob. Yes, sir.
That's right, Dave. Yeah, Robert Ridings, R-I-D-I-N-G-S, that's correct.
All right. If they do a search online, they should be able to locate that. Any other books in your future? Are you planning to write something additionally?
Well, I'm currently working on Bible Lessons 2.
Okay.
So I'm still teaching a class. I'm coming up with new subjects. One is, last week I did, is called Fire in the Spirit. And another one I'm writing now is called The Mind of Christ, Renewing Our Mind. A little bit into the neurological aspects of our brain and how the mind is renewed and how God created us to have a renewable brain. It's called plasticity of the brain. So the brain can be renewed, which is a gift from God.
Well, thank you for sharing not only your ministry, but also this book titled Biblical Lessons, 52 Topics, from Robert Ridings. Thank you, Robert, for joining us today.
It's my pleasure being here. Thank you very much.
For Indie Book Publishing and for Crossbooks, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Dix of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. I welcome to the program Juanita Kottner-Werstein, who has written a book titled Grandma's Yarn, and she's also illustrated it. It's a fascinating book. Welcome, Nita, to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I will enjoy it.
You have an interesting story, and unlike... I don't want to be negative, but this time of year there are some negative views around Christmas, but your family life was charming, interesting, and exciting all in one little bundle. Tell me about this story. Why did you write it? Why did you put it together?
Oh, well, originally I wanted to write the book because our family always enjoyed making memories together, and we laugh and talk about past Christmases, Easters, any kind of gathering. We usually have something exciting going on, and the kids always request doing some of their favorite activities over again. Well, I knew this was going to be a family treasure, so I decided when we talked about Grandpa and Grandma's story and the yarn hunt we did, that it would be a good idea for us to share that with others so that they could enjoy trying new things with their families, creating memories.
You've done a beautiful job illustrating this, and it's also tied in with the storyline. How long did it take you to do the illustrations?
Actually, that didn't take very long because it was part of a college art class project. The professor asked us to create something new that we had never seen before, that young children would be able to do, so that it could be taught in an elementary art class. So I only had a couple of weeks to pull it together. But we had just completed doing Grandma's yarn and following the big spider web upstairs just the Christmas before. And Mom had plenty of yarn on hand, so it just sort of fell together at that point. But when we completed it and we gave the gift to Grandma, it was interesting. All of the children, our age children, and then all of our grandchildren had a chance to touch, hold, play with it, follow the little yarn patterns in there. And it was just a special thing that laid right in a position of honor on their end table then for the next 20 years, practically. And at that point, I decided, since I had retired from teaching, it was a good time to find out how to publish a book. So that is how it came about. It took a long week before it came to fruition.
Tell us the underlying story of Grandma's Yarn.
Well, actually, Grandpa and Grandma were quite an elderly couple with their own concerns, but they always put their family needs ahead of their own. And it was continued into their older years, building a big repertoire of traditions and memories, because they knew this was the best time to leave the legacy for the next generation. Well, one year, when they were in their late 70s, they decided to hide a special gift for each son and daughter and spouse and grandchild in the empty rooms upstairs. And they would tie up each package with a different color of yarn and bring the other end down toward the Christmas tree. Well, as if that whole idea didn't seem challenging enough by itself, they also wound the yarn around every big and little obstacle that the entire upstairs could hold. So it looked like a giant, colorful spider's web. So the most exciting scene of the whole story is when we all stood at the bottom of the stairway looking up into this massive web of yarn. And we crawled up the 16 steps one by one and untangling with each other. And then we began to envision the enormity of the colorful web in the three bedrooms upstairs. Well, we laughed so hard trying to undo that yarn that little did we know that the blessing was not in the package at the end of the yarn, but it was in the laughter shared with the family. So as we untangled all those knots in our yarn, we also unraveled the loneliness that was in our own hearts, and we restored our family relationships. And we've done that time after time after time with different activities. Pass that on to our children and to our grandchildren. Hopefully, as they become older, that's same kind of thing, that they'll want to look for creative new ideas, ways to make the family feel comfortable and important.
Nita, why don't you share a couple of lines from your book?
Well, if I were sharing this with a group of children, I'd be in a rocking chair sitting on a little afghan, and they would be around me, and I would start off with saying, Grandma's Yarn, written and illustrated by Juanita Kottner Wurstein. Once upon a time, not so very long ago, in a big old country farmhouse, not so very far from here, there lived a little old farmer and his wife. Now, no one really knew their names, but it didn't really matter. They were so jolly and so grand that everyone just called them Grandpa and Grandma. Folks often liked to stop by for a visit because Grandpa and Grandma always had time to listen to their stories, and there were always fresh baked cookies in Grandma's cupboard just waiting for company to drop in. But their children lived far away, and their grandchildren were growing up, and they had become much too busy to spend a few days visiting and sleeping on the magic bed. They were too big to have tea parties or to cuddle up next to Grandma to listen to her story. Too big to go fishing in the ditch with Grandpa or go posy picking in the woods. So Grandpa tended his garden and fed the kittens and read the newspaper while Grandma cooked the soup and did the wash and clicked her knitting needle. But still, sometimes, Grandpa and Grandma would get very bored and very, very lonely. Now, there's the teaser. You'll have to find out what happens in the rest of the book.
I'm going to read it all.
Good.
It's apparent that behind that story is some motivation for current families, inspiration on activities and things they can participate in to have a great holiday season. For the not-too-creative among us, you've listed some family activities that don't cost a whole lot. Do your family members still participate in some of these activities?
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's been interesting. A lot of times now our children or grandchildren are coming up with the ideas, but some of the things that we have done together have been planned by the adults. Others are spur of the moment, but a lot of times we've done an entire Christmas CD together and presented that to the parents of our grandchildren. And we've done building forts down at the creek, all kinds of cousin camp activities, camping out together and so on, construction projects. We've had singing and dancing shows, puppet shows. It's just whatever we can imagine. Last Christmas, we actually did a reenactment of this giant spider's web, but we live on a farm, and so the grandchildren's gifts were actually scattered over 80 acres of farm ground.
Wow.
And they had to follow the yarn trail to get to it. So it was a very large hunt, a treasure hunt. And we also have done tiny ones where we all sit around the same dining room table, and all of the teeny tiny packages were in the center of the table. And as each one tugged on his own little ribbon to try to get to his own little package, the people in the center were pretty busy trying to untangle the ribbons, so it can be done in small spaces or large ones as well.
That's a charming idea.
There's just an amazing lot of ideas out there. We ask other people. Every time I present, I ask others what were some of the best things they've done. And some of them hide notes to lead kids to their packages, and some are a trail. And a lot of them don't include packages at all. They're just doing things together, whether it's work or play. And we've done, you know, wood chopping and all kinds of things. And we just completed our Thanksgiving, and actually it was our daughter-in-law's idea, and she asked if we could do some pumpkin junking. So my husband took the kids up in a bucket truck one by one, and they got the opportunity to toss a pumpkin out, see how far it could go. It was no competition there at all, just a lot of fun.
What I love about your list of things to do is I don't see a lot of electronics and computers and other distracting bits of information in there. It's all very practical, easy. Almost anybody could do it.
Yes, it is. And it isn't something that costs money. It costs a little bit of time thinking and planning ahead. But, yes, we definitely like more of one-on-one to each person, caring and listening to that person, rather than everybody sitting in their own corner with their own little handheld device. So you're exactly right. We do try to avoid that because they get so much of that everywhere else.
In looking back, it's the treasured time that we had and spent with family. What is stream splashing?
Stream splashing. Oh, yes. We've gone to, there's a set of, caves at the Hocking Hills in Ohio, where we're from. And we took the entire family to live in a cabin for a week. And as we went along exploring the caves, sometimes the kids would just wear old tennis shoes and walk right through the stream and find all their own little nooks and crannies and take pictures of everything. It was just an exciting time. And the kids have done that around here in our creek and in their other grandparents' creeks, too. But that was one where we were all exploring together, so that was fun.
Beautiful memory. Describe the process of putting your book together. Who do you think it's going to appeal to?
Oh, well, interestingly enough, it seems to appeal to all different ages of people, all stages of life. The littlest ones loves to trace their favorite colors with their finger on the colorful yarn illustrations. And I also, whenever I present, like to give a package of yarn and a story form for kids to create their own pictures out of it, which is something anyone could do, and tell a story about their favorite activities they've done with their families. And then the parents who are reading aloud, hopefully reading aloud with their little ones, begin to think of new ideas that they can do with their own family occasions so they have more excitement, more activity going on. And the grandparents that I've talked with and shared the book with often come back to tell me some of their own treasured Christmas traditions or Thanksgiving. And it's very fascinating to learn from everyone else what is fun at their house, too. Too many people that just say, well, we just go over to so-and-so's house, we eat, and we all go home.
Or watch the football games and probably take a nap.
Yes, everybody's headed in the same direction, and maybe they're all cheering, but they're not really communicating with each other. When I taught school, I taught special needs students, and it was a real awakening to me to find out that a lot of times they absolutely hated getting together with their families because there wasn't that kind of familiarity and comfort in going there. They didn't know each other. They'd never communicated. So I always challenged them to find out what they could do to make their own gatherings more fun. And then in January, they needed to come back and tell me, what were the results of their experiment? Were they able to make a change in the family structure? And most of the time, they had good, positive reports. So that's pretty good out of teenagers, I thought.
Absolutely. And how would you introduce this book to someone?
Well, Grandma's Yarn just celebrates the simple joy of being part of a family. And the story of it just is a story of people who take time to listen and love and care for each other.
Beautifully put.
And that ordinary family is the one who treats every day as a gift of the abundant life that we've been given. Actually, every day that's given to us is for the good of others, for renewing the joy in our own hearts, and listening to our children, listening to our grandchildren, caring about them. Because they're so young and impressionable for such a short period of time. So I wanted to pass along this tribute of a memory to my grandparents, or my parents, and they were instrumental in teaching me these important things of building the family relationships and strong family support system.
Is there anything about putting this book together that was challenging?
Actually, it was a joy from start to finish. It's spanned four generations already, from my parents to us, to our children, to our grandchildren, and it has been a joy all the way along. I remember when the first copy of the book arrived, my granddaughter, who was six at the time, was here at our house, and what a thrill when we opened that book together and tucked her in at night, and I couldn't see because it was getting kind of dark, so I would start reading the story, and if I'd leave out the words, she'd fill them right in because she remembered the story. So what a treat it's been. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to share it with a much larger community of friends, too. That's very rewarding.
Nita, any final thoughts you'd like to pass along?
Well, yes. I believe that we all need to realize the blessing of Christmas is not in the packages we give and receive, but it's in the gift of sharing our time together. In Grandma's Yarn, as you'll remember, as we untangled those knots in our yarn, we also restored closer family relationships. So I believe that is what will happen for other people, too, as they plan ways to spend time with their family in a positive, enjoyable manner.
Beautifully put. Thank you, Nita. This is a book that's only 38 pages long and might be mistaken as a children's book, but it really is transgenerational. It's absolutely
it
an interesting book and beautifully done.
It's meant for all generations.
Nita, where can we get copies of your book?
Where do we get copies?
Yes.
Well, I do have my own website. It's at www.nita, N-I-T-A, Wörstein, W-O-R-S-T-I-N-E, .com. And there are links on there to westbowpress.com, where the book can be purchased. It's also available in many other places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Book, and so on. But I'm sure that it can be found online easy enough.
Any other books in your future?
I hope so. I hope so. If this one is well received, I would love to do it all over again.
Charming read. Thank you, Nita, for joining us today.
Okay, well, I appreciate the opportunity to share Grandma's Yarn with you and your listeners. I believe they're going to like it.
I believe they will, too. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Parker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we have an Archway Publishing release titled Payback. The author is R. E. Voss. And I welcome to the program Roy.
How do you do?
This is an adventure, mystery. How would you describe this book?
Oh, kind of an action adventure thriller, I suppose. It's a story about pipeline construction. It starts out as pipeline construction in the Algerian Sahara.
And how did you gain any knowledge about pipeline construction in the Saharas?
Well, this book is, in fact, based on personal experiences in the Sahara. It starts out where a bunch of expats are in a small camp near the city of Gordaya, which is in the North Sahara, just south of the Atlas Mountains. And one night there is an attack on that camp, and five expats are killed. And that was a real event.
Hmm.
And so this kind of got me started thinking about a book, you know.
And what motivated you to get going and actually get this completed?
Well, that was kind of a funny deal. I was very active. I was playing golf, you know, 2-3 times a week, at least 18 holes a day. So one day I played 45 holes and it started raining. And just really busy, you know, and I had a minor surgery. And I was laid up for 8 weeks. And to go from super active to nothing, you know, one day was enough of that. And so I think everybody somehow or another would like to be able to write a book. So I just sat down and got to thinking about it, and I started thinking about this incident in Algeria, and I put together this story just based on what had happened and my own imagination. It was so much fun that I've almost completely quit playing golf.
Is that a fact? Your main character and part of the storyline deals with Muslim extremists and other things, Navy SEALs, and all of this is taken from real life occurrences, or at least modeled after that.
Yeah, kind of. The main character, the main protagonist in this thing is, I have named Brock Van Marter, and that just popped to me one time because I had two really great friends that I grew up with, Jerry Brock and Jack Van Marter. Both of these guys died way too young, And so I thought, well, I don't personally know any Navy SEALs, but I read a lot of novels, and it seemed logical to me to name this superhero in this book Brock Van Marder, as a, you know, kind of a tribute to Jack and Jerry, and I contacted their wives. They thought it was a great idea, so we went with it.
Fabulous. And this book, who do you think it's going to appeal to?
Well, you know, there's a lot of lot of interest these days in Arab fundamentalist and terrorist activities, and it's basically an action and adventure story, and that genre in general, I think, would be attracted to the book. I just got an email from a friend of mine who is in Afghanistan right now, and he just read it, and he happened to be on R&R out of In Amenas, Algeria, just 2 days before that big attack there when they killed all those expatriate workers there.
Wow.
And he said that he really enjoyed the book because it's geographically correct. People that are familiar with the desert there, you know, will recognize all the places.
Roy, how much time did you spend overseas?
I've worked in North Africa and the Middle East several different times. I've located pipeline routes, worked on construction projects, worked on construction specifications, and it's been a really interesting time. Some of these jobs that I went to, these camps and at these jobs are like 1,500 man camps, and they're little cities. They're completely isolated from the rest of the world. It's like working on the moon. If you need something, it had better be there, because you're not going to be able to run down to the super Walmart and pick it up. All your heavy equipment, your spare parts, everything has to be imported, and they're ready to go.
And you said you put this book together. Was it completed within a month's time, or did it take a little longer than that?
The first book I wrote was not this one. It was one about another project that I was involved with, a pipeline job that started in the upper Amazon basin and went out over the Andes to a terminal near Lima. It was a natural gas project, and so I wrote that one. And in that 8-week convalescent period that I had, I knocked out about 95,000 words or something like that. And at about the same time, at the end of the convalescent period, I met a very nice lady, Ruth Davis, and she introduced me to a group of people that has a writer's critique group here in Palestine, and she invited me to come in. And so I took some of the pages out of my book and went down there, and you pass these things around to everybody, and then you read them, and they write in them and correct things, you know. And so when I got finished reading about 10 pages of this, I looked around the room, and, of course, you know, nobody made any eye contact or anything, and I thought, uh-oh, this sounds bad. You know, they weren't exactly throwing lighted matches on me, but nobody was smiling either. And finally, this one lady says, "You're an engineer, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she says, "Well, I can tell this thing reads just exactly like some kind of a construction specification or a technical report. This doesn't read like a novel at all." And since then, I've cut out about 20,000 words of that story and added about 20,000 back in. I think I'm going to start to publish it pretty soon. But these things come very easy to me somehow. I can knock one of these things out in about 30, 45 days.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I heard of another author that does about that same process, about a month or month and a half, and books are completed. In Payback, is there a scene in there that really would stand out? Hopefully, as an author, you are thinking, this would be great if it was picked up as a movie of the week or as maybe a major motion picture. Is there a scene in there that really stands out and would make a great movie trailer?
Maybe where they capture the bad guy at the end of it, where they're buried themselves in the sand and sitting there with a sniper rifle, you know, and they've got these homemade air guns that they tranquilize these guys with. I think that'd go pretty good.
That's an interesting idea. And how would you introduce this to somebody?
It would be hard for me to say. A lot of people have told me that I really needed to write a book about all my experiences, you know. And actually, to introduce it to some stranger, I'd have to visit with them a little bit, because I would really hate, you know, there's some offensive stuff in these books.
Hmm.
And I would hate to offend anybody with some of my personal feelings. Mostly, I'm very opposed to some of the environmental regulations that go on. Of course, I've got the Muslim aspect in here. I'd have to be pretty careful about that.
Your out is, this is just a work of fiction.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's no deep life lessons here at all. This is just good versus bad, with the good guys winning in the end, you know, but of course not without a lot of setbacks in the middle.
Right. Well, that would be one way to introduce it to someone, say, now, these are not necessarily my opinions. These are just the opinions of the guy who wrote the book.
Well, maybe, but I like to think they're my opinions, too, you know.
Well, tell me, is this book similar to other books in the marketplace, or do you know, is this something that's different? People are going to enjoy this because it has a unique twist to it.
No, I don't think there's any real unique twist to it. Like I say, it's your basic good versus bad, and the good guys win. That's the kind of book I like to read. I read a lot of Lee Child books and Grisham, you know, and Stephen Hunter, that kind of stuff I really enjoy, and I always have one of them going, and some of them I read three or four times, you know, and it's not that I'm particularly trying to copy their work. It's just that I find that interesting, and if it's interesting to me, it's something I'm going to be able to deal with.
Absolutely, and there's nothing better than a good story where the good guys win.
Oh, yeah.
Anything challenging about putting this book together, thinking back of your time in overseas and all of the work that you'd done? Was that difficult to put that into the book?
No, the storyline actually comes pretty easy. What is difficult for me, like I said, it's trying to keep it from sounding like a technical report. And, it requires some pretty good editing. I have a couple of beta readers that I use. My brother is one of them. My wife reads for me, you know. And, of course, she's very biased. She thinks everything I do is solid gold. But, it needs, everything that I do needs some serious thought and editing.
You've managed to put together 268 pages in this book, Payback. Where can we get copies of it?
Well, you can get that on Amazon, either in paperback, or you can get it as an e-book. Barnes & Noble's carry it. I have it. I think that's it. It's also at the Archway Bookstore.
All right, sir. And have you considered putting a web page together?
Well, I've considered it. I'm going to... First of all, before I do that, I'd like to see how sales are going to go on this one. I would really enjoy putting a web page together and trying to do something in the book business.
Fabulous. Well, thank you for sharing your information, the backstory of the book titled Payback. The author, R. E. Voss, V-O-S-S, if you're doing a search on the Internet. And the first initial is R, second one E. Thank you, Roy, for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Enjoyed visiting with you.
My pleasure.
For Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.